Call meeting to order. Call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just a bit of housekeeping, if everyone would turn off their cell phone or other electronic devices, they interfere with our sound system, so we'd appreciate it if you would turn off any devices that you have. Roll call, Sherry.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Ken Oplinger.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
And Paul Greeno.
Here.
Okay, there are no recognition and awards this evening. And audience participation. Gary, we have the Rotary Club proclamation. Would you like to... Very active and done a lot, and you don't always hear about it.
committed to adopting this proclamation and preparing for the day for the 21st February.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Gary, on February the 23rd, is there anything special that we're going to do to alert our citizens that we're doing this?
Well, I hope that I can talk to our local newspaper to do a little bit of the possible today. And we're also going to try to get the other communities along the county limit. Well, we haven't had a discussion about this, but it's a good idea of working tomorrow at the Rotary Club to teach a little bit of money and do a nice ad in the newspaper for Rotary.
Should probably put it on our website as well to make sure that people are aware of the fact done this.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Dozier.
You want to move on to the next item? Mr. Chesnin,
yes, I would be glad to. He signed up and wishes to speak.
Mr. Chesnin is an attorney who resides in the city of Woolley, and he represents the Skagit tribe and has been the face of the tribe for the issue of the closing of the resort. And Raven and I met with him a month or more ago, and at that time suggested that maybe he come and just kind of give you an update on what was going on and maybe answer some of your questions. And he reminded me
thank you for being here, Mr. Chesnin. Appreciate it very much.
I'm actually here on behalf of Semyon Resort Company, LLC, the owner of the Semyon Resort. There's Edward Pride, who's the managing member and the majority owner. But really, the ownership is the LLC itself. First of all, I want to thank the City of Blaine and the utility council.
Make any difference
Well, in complicated matters, back at the time where we were considering the options of going into this postseason, basically I haven't followed the process too closely, but it has been through plan, and the discussions include the fact that if we find a viable buyer,
Harry, are there any deadlines that you're working under to get the resort sold? Is there a timeline there that if you don't do it by such and such a date, then something else happens?
Well, not at this point. Obviously, between now and May,
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't.
I'm sorry. What I was saying is the optimal time is between now and May to accomplish the sale and the best result after that. There are some legal impediments in the process.
That feeling, do you think you're going to sell?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I hope every day. I hope you paint it, wash the windows, and things like that.
Well, I guess there are those who think I'm some of Pollyanna, and I think it's a good chance to do
it. Are there any other questions?
The advantage would be if by May, then it would be operational for the summer months?
I would assume so. I think that of all the folks that we've been talking to, there's a recognition that there may be some period of time where there will actually be improvements to the property, putting in capital into the property. I don't know whether that means operating and putting in capital or putting in capital first and then operating, but I think anybody would be interested in buying it, not interested in letting it sit fallow for very long.
Kid?
I'm assuming you can't answer this, but I'm going to avail myself of the opportunity to hear it. Can you share with us whether your client has looked at other uses, or are they simply wanting to divest themselves of the property?
No, I think LLC has decided that it's no longer in a position to operate the hotel or any other use for the building itself. The LLC is committed to operating the golf courses in a standalone fashion.
Paul, you had a question.
Yeah, if you could, what legal impediments come into play in May?
Well, there's a loan on the property. The loan comes due in May.
Thank you. Any other questions? Just with no other questions, we really appreciate you being here and on behalf of the council. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation, and we look forward to working.
We hope to see you back pretty quick.
Yeah.
Next time I come back, I hope to bring you better.
We all hope that too. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, sir.
Any other signees? No. Okay. Seeing none, we'll go on to
what?
Our organizational meetings, committee assignment and reports. Mr. Kottner, do you have anything from the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee?
No report. Our next meeting will be next week.
Ken, anything on the Northwest Economic Council?
The Northwest Economic Council has made their final announcement. They are now part of the Council of Governments' specific roles they would play within the COG are still under discussion. But as a separate standalone entity that has the lead on economic development account, they no longer exist. I might recommend that we amend this to maybe just countywide economic development, and we can parcel into that both the work that the chamber is doing and the port is doing and other organizations. organizations that have a part now of being the lead entities in economic development.
Sherry, did you get that? We probably should make this a county economic report.
And then also, Mayor, just to confirm, as part of the organizational meeting, will anybody be changing from one report to a different one, or are they all going to stay the same for the
Bonnie, will, you're willing to stay on as the chair for the Chamber of Commerce?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. The only one I believe wishes to change is the library going to Dennis. Is that fine with you, Dennis?
Yeah.
Charlie, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have to vote on that, or is that just housekeeping?
No,
okay.
You don't.
Okay. Ken, anything on the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee?
No, there's been no meeting, and there will not be a meeting for the foreseeable future, probably until such time as the Simeon issue is dealt with.
Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie?
The last meeting, we had a speaker from the CEO of the Habitat for Humanity. Very interesting what they're doing in the county, and they do have a project going on in Birch Bay. They're going to be building a home there. Nothing in Blaine at this time.
RED loan?
I have no report unless Jeff does.
No report.
Okay.
I didn't receive any applications.
Paul, anything on the WTA board?
The organizational meeting for the year will be this Thursday, 8 o'clock, County Council Chambers in Bellingham.
Paul, Great Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie.
The next meeting is going to be March 20th, but there, if you want to buy shares in the oyster farm, you still can do that. For 50 or 100 bucks, you get certain dozens of oysters.
Okay.
Are you cooking them, or do we get
them? You bring them, I'll cook them.
He's the best oyster cook.
Yes, I heard that.
I want mine Rockefeller, though. That's the only way I can eat them.
That's the whiskey.
That's the only way I can stomach them.
Charlie, anything on the library committee?
Debbie, I saw Debbie Farmer earlier this week.
Okay, did.
And they're going to be meeting on this Wednesday, and she plans to speak to the council sometime this month.
Terrific.
And she's got some programs that would be of interest.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis, anything on the Senior Center Liaison Committee?
Yeah, they're having breakfast next Saturday, 8 to 11, and they had their bingo this last Saturday. And they made some good money.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question, and obviously I probably have a good reason behind asking this, but if we have a senior center report, should we have a Boys and Girls Club report since we're funding both organizations?
We've not done that, but it's certainly...
Because maybe the same sorts of things, activities going on at the center, things that are going for the kids.
Good point.
Maybe do an annual presentation for us.
Yeah,
good point.
Charlie?
I was looking at my emails that from the chamber, they said something about they had a deadline for doing stuff, trying to donate stuff for the Lions Lane for auction.
What's the date of that?
February 18th.
February 18th.
That's the Bite of Lane?
Yeah, if you wanted to donate.
Charlie, maybe you could get up close to the mic and repeat.
So if you wanted to donate something to be auctioned off at the Bite of Lane, you need to have it to the chamber by the end of the month.
Okay. Now, the Boys and Girls Club, Dennis, could you handle that at the same time as the Senior Center Liaison?
He might be his wife's director.
He'd know all that's going on.
Ken, you'd have inside information.
Would you like to do the Boys and Girls
Club? That would be the answer.
Okay.
Good.
Do you have that, Sherry?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Planning Commission, Mr. Jones.
No report from the Planning Commission, sir. I do have an informational item on them under staff reports. And under the Park and Cemetery Board, they had no meeting last month due to the holiday.
Okay. Chief?
No meeting of the Law and Justice Council, so no report, Your Honor.
Okay. Small Cities Caucus was pretty well covered by Ken's report on the economic development situation, so I have no other further report on that.
They're meeting tomorrow morning.
Small Cities Caucus?
Small Cities Caucus.
Okay, tomorrow morning?
Where?
Linden.
Okay. 9 o'clock. You want to write down? Let me know.
Okay, we'll do. I meant to say the Whitcomb Council of Governments, Ken made that report because that was really what they were dealing with.
Okay.
Was the moving of the Northwest Economic Council into the Council of Governments full. Chief Paul Oliver.
No report this week. I'm 4 weeks Thursday night.
Here's a question.
Does the new state law with the CO2, the CO detectors, who checks that on the buildings now? They're supposedly, every residence, new residence has to have a carbon monoxide detector. Any rental has to have carbon monoxide detectors. That would be... Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for the chief?
Yeah, unless you're right.
Okay. If there's no other questions, we'll go on to the city manager and staff reports.
Okay.
City manager?
We'll start by with our public works director, even though you've probably heard enough of her today already. I'm sure she'll be brief.
Well, pressure's on.
Well, that's a tough one to follow. Well, I don't really have any projects to update you on because we're kind of programming projects and timing for 2013, and our 2012 are largely put to bed. I did want to let you know that we did fill the GIS coordinator position. We hired a woman named Jane Yearling, and she has had a prior GIS experience working for WTA as well as the Nooksack Tribe. And if you're interested in kind of a little GIS, you know, where we are and where we're going kind of thing, we could certainly do a little presentation for you sometime. She's incredibly passionate and enthusiastic, and it's been very well received by staff so far. So.
Is that Rod Smith's replacement? Did she replace Rod Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of retooled things. Rod kind of did a combination of GIS and engineer tech kind of survey stuff. Ty Williams has taken on the engineer tech and development review work that Rod did. So Jane is strictly going to focus on mapping and GIS and getting our systems.
Is that a full-time position?
Mm-hmm. Raven, there seems to be an interest in having her make a presentation in the future. So.
Okay.
Well, that would be appreciated.
I'm less interested in the presentation. I know what she does. I'm more interested in actually having her generate some maps.
Okay. That is the ultimate outcome, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So maybe that'll help some of the noise problems in
Might,
the room.
You never
get
know.
Some
Absolutely.
Maps on the wall.
Fuzzy maps.
I'd like to schedule with you a joint work session with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District. We have tentatively recommending the date of March 4th. That is an off Monday, so you would be not normally having a meeting, but it would be on a Monday night at 5:30. The purpose of this would be literally to have you sit with the Birch Bay Water and Sewer District Board at a table. We have a presenter who does the hydrogeology for our water system who would come, is willing to do a presentation to kind of give you an idea of kind of where we are now with our water system and some of our goals over the next 5 years, that kind of thing. other agenda items that we talked about, trying to find them. Let's see, talk about the Birch Bay Blaine Aquifer. East Blaine build-out was one of the other topics we talked about, water rights development, and also a debrief from our annual meeting that we held in December. So we hope to keep it informative, a little bit juicy with some good stuff, and keep it to an hour or so.
Water's
Does that date
exciting.
Work?
Say, water's always exciting.
Water is. I'm very passionate about water.
How many more years does our contract with Birch Bay go? I mean, we redo this every 5 years, don't we? Or?
No, it's just a longer term.
Longer
contract.
Term?
Is it 12? I want to say 10.
Didn't we just redo one not too long ago?
We did one when I first came, literally right when I first came, because there was a rift occurring. And then since then, Steve was involved in rewriting it, and that was probably 5 years ago, something like that.
It'd be interesting to know how long that contract was for.
I can get that to you. Okay. Does that date work for you? Date and time, the 4th of March at 5:30?
That's so far away, we don't know.
Yeah.
We'll promise.
I'll do my best to remind you at our next meeting. Okay. Keep it on your agenda. And then just a bit of trivia for you. We received 76 utility requests in 2012. Anybody want to guess how many of those were in the month of December?
72.
We had 76 new utility requests, new accounts, in the entirety of 2012. I was asking if you wanted to guess how many were in December.
72.
30.
Wow.
So 30 of the 76 were all in December.
Just by requesting it, did they not have to have something to prove that they're ready for hookups or anything like that?
No, they vest themselves by applying for a year.
But they come in with building permits, with very few exceptions. So those are basically new construction permit requests that we handled in December.
The cluster housing.
Mostly single-family residents or multi?
Myriad.
Just a mixture of both.
And you guys will have your building permit.
We will. We'll have a report. Probably in the beginning.
Yeah. I just thought I'd entertain you for a little trivia. That's all I have to report. It's good to hear.
Could I ask you a question?
Yes.
How are we making out with the Martin situation?
We will anticipate having something for you at your next meeting. Don't know what that something will be exactly, but we will be coming to you with something.
Did we not have some deadline help?
Yeah, it's the end of January is our deadline according to the letter of understanding. So we will be.
So, eminent domain is the next step if we don't get a satisfactory answer.
That's correct.
Thank you.
So I would guess at the next meeting we're either be asking for an extension or one of the other alternatives.
Thank you.
I have a question. You're filling in the between the path and the road out there by Chuck's Drive In and along by Mitchell Street.
Yeah.
Are you just going to do that little section? Because I mean, some drift would be driving down through those things. So
yeah,
is that just that section, or are you going to do it the whole way?
Just that section. What we're finding is that the areas that are adjacent to parking lots and whatnot, it's just too hard to keep that grass strip. And as much as we want to have that green along the trail, we don't want a water quality violation either. So we're going to set that up. We actually expect the grass to grow through the gravel anyway, but at least it won't be a mud bath.
Okay. I think those are intentionally.
Well, of course there are.
Yeah, it's vandalism. It's vandalism.
You look the way. You should have the whole car sink right into the ground.
Yeah.
So don't do gravel, do quicksand?
Quicksand, yeah.
Yeah, the You know, the unfortunate thing about that is the labor that goes into doing what they're doing now is substantial. I mean, they basically are getting one of those sections done a day. So we're going to have somebody on that project, Raven, for what, at least a week of city equipment and personnel down there because some dummy ran their car in and out of the
When they put the traffic cameras in, they did the same thing.
That isn't covered by the
grass on the
contractor that put that in.
They're not responsible for some idiot driving their car in the.
The contractor did what they were contracted to do, which was to place topsoil and seed it and hydroseed it. In fact, they came back and repaired the hydroseeding. So they did what they were supposed to do. The fact that people drive all over the grass is not theirs, as Gary mentioned, not their responsibility.
Spikes may be in order. Mr. City Manager.
I'm through ranting. Let's go. Mike, do you have anything?
I don't know if you've noticed, Bonnie, the 665 Peace Portal, Costa Azul, the windows have been taken care of.
I have. Was, yes, thank you very much.
Using information which planning, Mr. Jones and the city manager provided, we were able, I don't know if it was the telephone calls or the certified letters, but but the owner of the property expressed his appreciation for the notification. And they came up and they did those changes themselves. So,
all right.
So, where was this?
The old Costa Azul. Remember I said that the windows were cracked and it was a hazard and, you know, when you put plywood, well, they put up lattice. Yeah, it looks pretty nice.
Looks
I do have a question, though, probably more for the city manager or maybe Michael. Do you have any idea if the owner has any plans for that property in any sort of way?
I don't know that there are. I've not spoken to the owner for quite a while. Mike did.
He did not express any to us in our conversations with him.
So. And no one has contacted me about that building in any way other than what we just discussed for quite a while.
I sure would like to see, I don't know. Maybe the Blaine Economic Development Committee could make contact with him and just see if encourage him to put the property on the market or, do something with it because it's just falling down. It's just in horrible shape.
Right across, Clark, it's right across the street from the Pastime Tavern on the west side, the water side of the street. And there are actually three buildings there which sit, they share common walls. So.
Okay.
Just a note that on January 5, we had a demonstration up at Peace Arch Park. It was a solidarity group from both sides of the border supporting the Idle No More group, which is primarily based in Canada and addresses concerns which First Nation peoples have towards some changes in law there. This was they came to us without benefit of permits to the state parks or any of the normal routine which precedes these events. So it caused some concern on both sides of the line. But the processes that we have developed and the relationships that we have developed to try to scope out these events worked well, and we were able to appropriately provide staffing to ensure that the event was held safely. The group that that came from both sides of the line actually were very amenable to keeping themselves safe and keeping the property safe. They stayed off of the roadways. We just provided a little traffic control, and at the end of it, there was very little litter even left on the road there.
Can I ask a question?
I did have a question about this. I was pleased to see that it turned out that way here, because the other demonstrations at other border crossings across the country didn't turn out quite so well.
Correct.
And as you know, over this past week, there were more demonstrations in downtown Vancouver that also weren't quite as harmonious. Do we have any way to be able to sort of keep track of this? Are we concerned about future demonstrations and the problems that might be caused by the group?
We're always concerned about the possibility of what happens in the future. We don't know that there won't be more there related to this specific cause. We do have a system in place with cooperation on both sides of the line among public safety groups to do monitoring and interaction. We have a benefit here of the groups that tend to be involved are they're intelligent about how they go about this. They have not only statements that they wish to make, but they have business interests as well. And I think they do a good job of choosing the middle path, at least in regards to our environment here. And we hope that those will continue, but it's a sort of an trust but verify situation, I guess.
Because, I mean, one of the demonstrations back east had a bridge closed for 4 hours, essentially closed the border crossing. I'm just a little concerned about this. It appears these demonstrations are continuing in Canada and that we just keep an eye on and make sure we can respond quickly to it. But it's a good work.
Correct. And we do have a group in place, but this was actually a wonderful tabletop for us and got us started towards our winter planning cycle. So we have ongoing meetings with the stakeholders there, CBSA, CBP, Border Patrol, and several other agencies. And so we'll keep you posted on that.
In regards to what happened in Connecticut, Newtown, we've heard a lot of reports of action being taken by various cities, various police forces, in providing additional safety at schools. Have we taken any specific actions in regards to it?
We started quite some time ago, Harry, with working with the school district and again, establishing the relationships. We have an excellent cooperative agreement with the school district management and with the on-site building owners. Prior to this chain of incidents that's happened over the last year, our primary focus has been on pre-planning and providing as much operational resources as we can for those events. And, at its height, we had 14 officers. We have fewer than that now. And time and again, we've learned that these incidents are resolved in the first few moments, at most the first few minutes of the event. Our Border Patrol chief has been exemplary in stepping forward and providing us access to cross-train with their personnel. In the last couple of months, we have finished cross-training all Blaine police officers with all of the Blaine Station U.S. Border Patrol agents. So regardless of who is on shift on what day, those people have the training and they have the background and they have the firsthand on-site knowledge of the school campus to do what we hope will be a good job of mitigating whatever event comes to play. That has to be an ongoing process, so we'll be continuing with the 2013 training cycle, of course. We've also met with other law enforcement local agencies in the county. In our latest initiative, the Sheriff's Office is going to host an operational group to allow us to do some collaboration on sharing of training resources and coming up with common operating schemes. We rely heavily on Border Patrol and Blaine, as does SUMAS, for instance. There are other agencies further south which rely more on either the Sheriff's Office or some other partner local agency. So it would be a good thing for us to all get together and share best practices, and that's one of our local law enforcement training goals for 2013. Gary helped to put together meetings, special meetings with the school district back to Blaine between Dr. Spanier and himself and me and the facility superintendent at Blaine Schools. And we're working on some specific initiatives which we are very hopeful will bear some fruit to provide us some ability to spend more officer time on campus, which we've been sorely lacking for the last few years since we were forced to close down the school resource program. We have missed that very much in our office, among our officers. And it turns out that Dr. Spanier says that the school has missed that as well. So we're making inroads on being able to try to bring some of that back. And I hope to be able to report on that in the future.
Well, that's good. We'd like to be kept informed as to...
Absolutely.
I think Clark had a question, and then I'll move to the judge.
He absolutely did. You know, he's one of those guys, you can hand him a project and a vision, and he carries through. That's the sort of employee that you can't say enough about. So.
Mike, with the building that they're going to be putting up, the new science facilities, those doors will be more secure, there's a different arrangement, or... I understood there was going to be some improvement as to the number of exits.
The school's made good progress on trying to make their campus more secure without becoming such of a burden that the security rules and security hardware is simply not followed. It's an uphill battle in a way because the school in Connecticut, for instance, had excellent infrastructure. Both in terms of hardware, technology, they had good policies in place. However, a determined assailant is hard to overcome. But that said, we still have to do everything we reasonably can to make those improvements. And the school is very, very aware, both of the new buildings and the changes that will be made to it, or built into the plans, and also doing some retrofitting and improvement of existing security issues on the existing buildings as well. And Jim Knoyer, the lead the superintendent there of facilities at the school, is it's one of his priorities, actually. And he put a lot of time and thought into this.
I know there's a lot of discussion on mental health issues. I know that gets to be a very difficult issue because of privacy issues. Are you made aware of any students at any of the school facilities that are having difficulties or problems?
We meet monthly with all of the building leads, and that includes disciplinary, academic, safety issues, and we're pretty open. When a student is on the campus, the school is effectively their guardian for those hours, and they are considered a justice care agency. So we're able to have those frank conversations. Perhaps it goes back to the "it takes a village to raise a child" concept, but we try to make sure that they're aware of what we're seeing in our day-to-day interactions in the community, because it helps them in focusing their efforts on campus, and vice versa for the school officials.
Thank you. Any other questions for the chief?
Okay. Let's see, Michael.
Yes, a couple of things. First is related to the Planning Commission. I wanted to make you aware of some of what we're going through. Brian Dixon, who was an excellent commissioner, has decided he's interested in doing some other things with his time, and he's resigned. And Van Tab, also another good commissioner, his position expired at the end of December. So we had 6 on the commission. We are down to 4, which is the minimum for quorum. And due to a very positive family event in one of our commissioners' lives, they are out of the area for the month of January. So we have no Planning Commission seated, essentially, due to lack of quorum for January. So just to make you aware, we didn't have a meeting, and we won't have a meeting until after you make some appointments. It's an obviously important issue. Sue will be back in the beginning of February, so we'd have quorum by default. It only takes one person catching a cold or having something come up, and we wouldn't. so it's a bit of an issue. We do have two applicants for the three vacancies. Typically, again, like we've done in the past, we try not to just bring you one person and have them interview, but we will be bringing you whoever we have applied at the next meeting on the 20th, because I really need there to be more than four people on the Planning Commission. And I guess I would point out that it brings to my mind the idea of, is seven the right number, maybe five is the right number. Not going to belabor that point, but we do have a couple of people that have applied. One of those is Mr. Tabb, so you know, he'll be applying for reappointment, and we'll see if there are more candidates. But in 2 weeks from today, we plan to have a work session for interviews, not just for the Planning Commission, but for some other positions as well. Planning Commission is the most critical one.
What's the deadline for those applications?
Sherry, do you have a deadline for those applications?
Ken has a question.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to ask this. Are there any legal impediments to a motion this evening to appoint Mr. Tabb and another time? And I've always, that was all prior to my being on the council, and I've always found that, frankly, to be borderline offensive to the people who have been serving on that. If they want to serve another term, unless we have some issue for removing them. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for us to have to wait until February. If Ann wants to serve again, I've never heard anyone on this council have any concerns about the tenure that he's had. I think that it ought to just be done having you have another member of the Planning Commission. So unless someone can give me a legal reason why I shouldn't, I'm going to make that motion.
A second.
I don't know if there's a legal reason why you can't appoint without it being on the agenda.
Then I would move that we appoint Van Tapp.
Second. We have a motion on the table. Is there any questions before we vote?
If you, do you want to second it? Somebody want to second it?
Yeah, Charlie second it.
Okay.
We have the motion on the table.
That was part of why I asked the question.
Yeah. That probably is not a deal killer. The only thing, Ken, is that the council made a policy for a reason that they wanted to interview everybody. And I don't, you know, the only thing I raise is that if the council made that policy, then the council should do away with the policy if they're not going to use it, whether they, you know, no skin off my teeth, but just in terms of procedure, the policy is that's what we're going to do. So I think that there needs to be some sense of, you know, is that a policy we want to continue or not? I, you know, it's just a matter of procedure. The reason that the council made the policy is that infrequently there is someone that they don't want to extend. It may be the person's, whatever the reason might be, but they may you know, not want to reappoint the person, and they needed the opportunity to do that, because prior to that it was just kind of automatic.
But we're going to vote on it, Terry.
Well, then they need to just suck it up and say, you're going to have to come back and talk to us, because we're concerned about appointing you to another term. I mean, to put the Planning Commission into a situation where they can't hold a meeting because we have a policy that says that we have to come back and talk to someone who agreed to sit on the Planning Commission for a period of time, and we've had no concern about it, I think that that's actually a worse policy. So I have no problem with making a recommendation that we change the policy as well.
Michael, could you come back with a change in policy for us?
I don't know that it's even, is it a written policy,
it's
Gary?
It's not written. It was a request made by the council a couple of years ago.
What was advertised for the positions?
The closing date is Thursday, January 10th.
But what was the, when the the announcements were made as to what positions were open, did that include Vans?
Three positions were added.
So if you have other people that apply, which I'm not too worried about, I guess, but if they do, then in effect you're not allowing those people to make application for some of those positions.
I guess that's true. Effectively, one of those positions would no longer be available. There would only be two.
That would be my concern with it.
But Michael, couldn't you rewrite a policy for us that says, you know, here's what happens when a person finishes his term and wants to apply. The council can do the following. They can either ask them to show up, or they can have a motion that says, let's approve this person.
I'm sure Sherry and I can work on something like that. I guess what I would say is, are there other policies like that that the council has, written policies other than things that are in code? I hate to create a new sort of thing floating out there that we might not all know. Well, a few years from now, we might not remember, or other people sitting here might not know about.
Is it something that administratively we could approve? But can't we include something in the minutes at a future meeting that says this is how this council would like to handle people coming up to reapply?
You can do that right tonight if you want. If you want to make a decision that that you don't want to interview candidates for city, it's not just the Planning Commission. Yeah. It's all city appointments. You don't have to. You don't have to interview them if you don't want it. All you have to do is say you don't want to interview everybody.
Or we have the option of appointing the person that's in there.
If at some point you want to interview, you can say, I want to interview. All I'm saying is that the council was pretty specific, and we've followed that procedure for quite a while now. Everybody's supposed to be interviewed.
How many of the council members that made that decision are still on this council?
I don't know. I have no idea. I imagine very few of us. A couple of them.
Three of us at least. Probably four.
To me, it's we're going either or, and it's why not both. If you're on an existing commission and you're going to be reappointed to that, I mean, I thought it was dumb that you had to come and do it again, unless they were present. But if you're new to the position, then I think we should interview. But I don't think we should have Vance have to come here again. I mean, unless we have concerns about it, and then we could ask him. That's my take on it.
Yeah, it's an option.
Absolutely.
Paul has a comment.
I'm sorry, though. I'd like to point out is that Van did not even get his application in the first time around. He just, I had sent a letter with an application for him, and I notified him last year. And then I think Michael contacted him, or somebody did, to remind him that we still had to be in
I'll tell you, I almost didn't submit an application when I was told that this was happening in my position, because my feeling was that y'all know me. I served at that point for 4 years on the Planning Commission. Why do I have to fill out the piece of paper and go through the interview process again? And so you almost didn't have me back on because of that. But I don't think that Van delaying getting you his application should in any way signify to us whether he did or did not want to continue on the Planning Commission.
And I don't think that was what was suggested. I would just point out, sir, that if someone doesn't apply, we don't know that they want to continue.
Absolutely.
So it, even though it may be some paperwork hassle and the interview is purely up to your discretion, it's really important, I think, for us to know that person has applied and would like to continue to serve. Otherwise, we are scrambling to find other people to fill that position. You know what I mean? So it is pretty important that the person at least have some.
But I don't want that to be used as some indication to us that questioning.
He wasn't questioning. He forgot, and then he went away for the holidays. And when we got back in touch with him, he's like, I'll do it.
Absolutely.
Paul, you're next.
Okay, it would seem that the most straightforward way of addressing the issue and each side of the issue would be to treat it as though it were on the consent agenda. To wit, if somebody such as Van wanted to take the job again, you would so notify us. And if one council member objected to it, he could come in for an, we could ask Van to come in for an interview. Otherwise, we could vote on it.
and that it would be on the consent agenda for the last meeting in December so that he would just continue on to the next term and wouldn't have to delay a time period.
It would be on whatever consent agenda is appropriate. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Charlie, you have a question. Okay. I think that's a good idea. I mean, to me, I think anybody that's served for 4 years, we know what the kind of work that they've done, their experience. We probably want them back on unless there's some issue that, you know, has come up. I think we should have them on the consent agenda, and if we approve, I think the council members could say, hey, before I approve, I want to interview this person.
Mm-hmm. You would be the one to consent. No.
Can we call for the question?
Yes, we can call for the question. All in favor of the motion? Do we want to repeat the motion, Sherry?
Yeah, I was just thinking that we have a special council meeting coming up to approve payable to the
consent agenda. Well, no, we have a consent agenda tonight. And I'm kind of impatient.
If the council wants to appoint this person, just do it.
Well, there's already a motion in the second.
Yeah, just do it. You don't have to.
I asked Jerry.
Nobody is going to question the action.
We have a motion on the table. Would you please repeat the motion, Jerry?
And unfortunately, I'm not real clear on that because it kind of always.
Okay.
The motion was that we appoint. Yes, I made the motion to appoint Van Tab to an open seat on the Planning Commission, and it was second. That is the only motion. That's
everybody understand the motion? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, one abstain. So the motion passed 6-0 with one abstain. Abstention. Is Dennis.
Now to fill in the gap, if we have an unwritten, if our current unwritten policy is to ask the people to come in for an interview, I suggest we create a new unwritten policy to do just as I have suggested, which is put the potential extension of commission members on the consent agenda with the understanding that if one council member should object, the person will come in for an interview.
And does everyone understand that? And is there anybody that would have any objections to that? Okay, so then can we put this unwritten rule in our agenda?
Can I get a clarification?
Minutes, I should say.
Can I get a little bit of a clarification?
Yes, sir.
If this is an open position at the end of the term, is that correct?
Yes.
And if you have applicants for that other than the present individual, how do you take those into account?
You could choose to interview them or choose not to.
Well, if there is only one position open,
okay,
and you have a member that is willing to serve,
then what if this is on the consent agenda? This group can then decide what it wants to do with it. It can either say, we want to interview these other people before we make a decision, or we can say, regardless of who applied, we're going to appoint this guy.
Are you going to advertise that position? And if you advertise it, aren't you obligated to?
Well, I don't think we would advertise it if there was only one position and there was one individual reapplying.
We are required by ordinance to advertise at the end of every year all vacancies that are coming up for another time. Just that once a year.
At the end. In which case, if there are others that apply and we'll interview them, then we'll pull it from the consent agenda. Give the opportunity for the person to be reappointed to the position, in addition to the fact that we also have term limits on these positions, so it's not like they would be there in perpetuity.
So if there's nobody else that applies, then that would apply the...
It would be up to the council to decide. They could either do the interviews, not do the interviews. It would be up to us to make that decision at that time, but we have all the information in front of us.
Beyond the consent agenda, we can either take it off the consent agenda, or we can... approve it.
I'd have to think about that.
You going to think about that?
That's why he abstained.
Okay.
One thing that I would add, Mr. Mayor, is that the only reason we're kind of in the situation we are with the Planning Commission at this point is that we didn't have applicants, and we kept advertising and kept advertising, waiting and waiting and waiting, and now it's the end, now it's next year, and we have to act. So this has kind of been a little bit unusual. We typically have some applicants to bring to you. So hopefully we won't see this over and over again.
It's all Sue's fault for having a grant.
Okay, if we've killed that issue, Mr. City Manager, can we go on to the next?
Can I bring up one other thing that wasn't on the agenda, and it came to mind when Councilman Hawkins mentioned shares in the Oyster Co-op, that the Wellness Committee, in cooperation with Let's Move Blaine, is working on a community share program, a CSA program for farms that's community-sponsored agriculture, where consumers purchase essentially futures in crops, and you buy in at the beginning of the season, and then you're provided usually every other week with the produce from the farm, and it can be wide-ranging. It starts usually with radishes and kale and lettuce and spinach, and goes through the summer season and into the fall crops as well. We're working on trying to make that available for employees of the city, and having the city cooperate, participate in that. We would also be making that available to the council, I hope. So I just wanted to let you know that the city's kind of taking the lead with Let's Move Blaine and trying to be one of the first large employers in the city to do that. And Let's Move Blaine is hoping to extend that to other employers in the city and then try and get that available more widely.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Let's move to Jeffrey.
Okay. According to state law, we have until January 20th to approve our final 2012 payables. So we need to schedule a meeting. It would be this Friday for you to approve that consent agenda. And it can be at any time during the day, just as long as we have a quorum. So it would be set at 9 o'clock or whenever most everyone can make it.
I can do the
9:30.
Okay, anybody who would be available for a Friday meeting to approve the consent agenda at 9 or 9:30?
9:30 would probably be there.
I could be here.
On the 18th?
On the 18th.
Just walk up the
stairs. I could be here.
I believe I can be here. Ken, how about you?
9:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
We already have
four. Yeah, as long as we have four, then we're
Clark, four. Can I be here? Okay, there's Clark, Paul, myself,
Jeff, and you call.
Charlie, and Dennis. So,
to remind
okay,
you.
Just email that all out so that we know that do we have to be here.
Sherry, if for some reason other we don't have quorum, just call me on my cell and I'll come upstairs. Okay.
And then I had one other item that I wanted to report on, and that was our the finalization of our 2011 fiscal year audit. The auditors conducted an exit conference on Friday, which staff attended, and council member Olison was also there. And I'm happy to report the city received a clean audit for its accountability portion, no findings and no management letters. So that's
very
good news.
Very good.
You know, there are three levels of reporting. We did receive two exit items or two exit recommendations. One was how we allocate our information technology costs to other city departments. They want us to look at that and figure out a different basis. Currently we use a total cost basis, and they want us to look at something like a total number of computers each department uses to allocate those costs on that type of a basis. So we'll work on that. And then the second item was to review our credit card or purchasing card policies. You know, when you make policies, sometimes you can make them too strict. When you make them too strict, it's difficult to follow. So you need to look at all those policies and then rework them. Some of the areas that they talked about were, for example, supervisory approval of credit card purchases. So we need to look at our process there. But again, we're clean audit for our accountability portion. So that's very good news.
You and your staff are to be complimented.
Okay. Sherry?
Just kind of following up to Michael, we do have the vacancies open.
civil service do you require?
Not much.
Is that it, Sherry?
That's it.
Okay.
My report is that I am announcing my retirement. And just for a few people who are in the audience, this is not a total surprise to the council. We discussed this some time ago and have been aware that this is coming. In terms of a public announcement, I had been on the control seat. So at this time, it's my intent to retire from my position as your city manager effective June 30th, 2013. I'd like to read the letter that my letter to the council. It says in February 2000, I was selected to be Blaine's interim city manager while the council searched for a permanent manager. I clearly remember arrogantly telling the council members, Marshall Hawkins and Peter Schultz, that I was not interested in applying for the permanent position. However, Blaine grew on me and I decided to pull my hat in the ring. I was hired in July of 2000. Professionally, my decision to work with Blaine was the best decision I'd ever made. Renata and I have very much enjoyed 13 years studying and working in this wonderful city. Since 2000, there have been many changes in our town. Most of them have been for the better. And I am proud that for the past decade, has been the most productive in Blaine's recent history. Without the very best people working for the city, these improvements would not have been accomplished. And I am not exaggerating when I say that there is not a community of our size in the state of Washington that even comes close to matching the services that we offer our citizens. The reason for that is that we have a wonderfully skilled and dedicated workforce. They make my job easy and enjoyable, and I will miss them most. The elected leaders have been consistently sound. I have been supported by capable and dedicated city council members. And I thank the council members, past and present, for their leadership and dedication to the community. Lastly, and most importantly, I want to thank the citizens of Blaine for their support and for allowing Renata and me to be part of their community. Nothing special happens in a small town without engaged citizens. We have a very good. Someone once said that if you want the citizens to like you, you have to like them back. That's very easy to do. I love Blaine, and it is love us back. Thanks for allowing me the privilege of serving you.
Mr. City Manager.
I'm not sure how to take that.
We're going to miss you.
That's good. Got rid of that guy.
Okay, we have the calendars in front of us. I think the office will be closed on January 21st for Martin Luther King Day, Jr. We're going to have that special meeting to approve the consent agenda on the 18th at 9:30 a.m. I guess that's it, other than the office will be closed on February 18th. Okay, no public hearing this evening, correct?
Correct.
Written communications. How are we doing in the written communications department?
We received a fax dated January 2nd from Joel Douglas regarding Blaine Vancouver Metro. An email dated January 2nd from Assistant State Auditor regarding the exit conference that was just last Friday. And an email dated January 10th.
And no other communication? Okay, we'll move to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, we have approval of bills in the amount of $79,586.44, approval of the payroll in the amount of $440,974.48, approval of the December 24, 2012 City Council minutes, resolution 1617-13, approving newspaper for legal publications, and resolution 1619-13, surplus electric meters.
Move the consent agenda.
I'm sorry. I want to make a correction. I've provided the other council members, and I thought I put one in your box also, but there are actually two vouchers packets. There one $79,586.44 and 2013 vouchers for $57,085.74.
Okay.
With that amendment, I move to approve the consent agenda.
Okay. Any comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the agenda is the council action items. Number one is the financial funding agreements.
Mayor, this is in two parts. The first one is to approve an agreement to the or with the Boys and Girls Club. Each year, the city allocates funding to the Blaine Boys and Girls Club and the Senior Center for services provided to the community, specifically for the Boys and Girls Club. Recommendation is to allocate $26,000 for 2013. So we're asking that you authorize the city manager to enter into an agreement with the Blaine Boys and Girls Club in a total amount of $26,000 for 2013.
I move that the council authorize the city manager to enter into a financial assistance agreement with the Boys and Girls Club Blaine unit in the total amount of $26,000 for the year 2013.
Okay, any discussion, comment, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Abstention.
Okay, one abstention. Get that, Cherry? 6-0. Can abstain?
And then okay. The second one is to the Senior Center in the amount of $39,000 for 2013. So we're recommending that council authorize the city manager to enter into a financial assistance agreement with the Senior Center, and this also reflects the amount of money that we receive from the Whatcom County Parks and Recreation that we funnel to the Senior Center. So the total amount is $97,750, with $58,750 coming from the Whatcom County Parks and Recreation, and $39,000 from the city.
So
second.
Okay, Charlie. And Ken.
It was Charlie.
And either Bonnie or Ken, you can throw it up.
Got it.
Okay. Any questions or comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is resolution 1618-13, initiating the 2013 comprehensive plan docket. Mr. Jones, is that you?
Yes, it is. Council members, this is so much of a housekeeping item, I think that you probably could have had it on the consent agenda, but it's probably worth an action item. All of these items that are proposed for the docket for 2013 were on the docket in 2012. I can happily say we at least knocked a few of them off, but it was an ambitious list, as it always is, and so there are quite a few things left here. I'll go through them just real quickly, because you have seen them before. And the first one is related to transportation impact fees, much like the park impact fee item that you saw last year. One of the items that we knocked off the list was the park impact fee discussion. transportation impact fees a little bit more involved. We haven't gotten to that. It's related to the idea of creating some kind of special programs and ways to have differential transportation impact fees. The second item is related to evaluating the comprehensive plan designations for the vicinity of interchange exit 274 based upon the adopted and approved interchange justification report. So it would kind of re-evaluate the land uses planned in that area based upon a full service interchange. And we also wrapped into that the need to look at and potentially revise the text and mapping for our manufacturing districts, because that all ties into the same discussion. The third item is something that was proposed at the end of 2011 by a private citizen, a agriculture use allowance in the RPR zoning district, and they have since submitted the associated zoning text amendment that is actually scheduled to go to the Planning Commission at the next month. The fourth item is to revise the public services and facilities element, primarily to incorporate the existence of Fire District Number 21, as opposed to our fire department. It was written so long ago it refers to that. But it also refers to a lot of facilities that are very different today than they were when it was written. We stopped doing that because we were in the process of potentially buying and moving to this building, and it would have required rewriting yet again as soon as that happened. So now seems an opportune year to do that. Number five is not hugely significant, but our comprehensive plan shows the land used by the Port of Entry, the new large PSART Port of Entry. A lot of it is being high-density residential land because it's what it used to be before it was acquired by the federal government. We'd like to change that and make it consistent so that we're not expected to develop that land with high-density residential and house people there, because that's never going to happen. We would like to work with Whatcom County and do comprehensive planning and a neighborhood plan for the Boblett Pipeline UGA, which is out to the east of the city. It's in our interlocal agreement with the county to do that. It's a pretty ambitious project for a department our size. Probably needs consulting funds to do that, but we'll see where that goes. And then finally, the last one is related to updating some land use elements related to environmental issues, critical areas ordinance, and the Shoreline Master Program. Incidentally, the Shoreline Master Program is on the schedule for the Planning Commission for March. I think we may finally be finished. Well, finished enough to send it to you, at least, after that. So no new items, just old items. My recommendation is that you docket all of these.
Question, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Number three, where is that located, and what are they planning on doing?
Well, the RPR zone is in West Blaine. It's the majority of the West Blaine planning area, so it's basically all of the Semiahmoo uplands, and it would be an allowance for the whole zone. It would only relate to large vacant parcels, because certainly no one's going to be doing agriculture on their single-family lot. There are a couple of very large parcels out there that some of the owners are interested in finding some way to make some income until it's time to grow houses on those.
Those are the old hay fields, primarily?
I think primarily they're those big areas that Trillium cleared several years ago and didn't build houses on yet.
Well,
it's, could be in. But again, as a comprehensive and zoning change, it doesn't relate to specific pieces of property. It would be allowances open to whomever it applied to.
Anyone care to make a motion?
Move approval of Resolution 1618-13, initiating the 2013 comprehensive plan docket.
Seconded by Clark. Are there any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the agenda is the Ordinance 13-2827, amending Chapter 17, Mineral Resources Lands Notification.
This is also me, Mr. Mayor. Almost as simple as the last item. The revised code of Washington includes a requirement that all jurisdictions notify property owners if the property owner is proposing development, whether that's building a house or subdividing their land. It is required that we notify them if they are within 500 feet of designated mineral resource lands. I think the logic behind that is that if you're about to build your, you know, dream home on property about spitting distance from a future quarry, you might want to know that. And so we don't have any mineral resource lands designated in the city. In fact, I don't think it's even compliant with GMA for us to designate mineral resource lands within the city. But Whatcom County does have mineral resource lands designated adjacent to us, so we'll talk about that just briefly. So this is a notice to property owners. It's not a new regulation really on anyone except us. It requires us to notify them. It doesn't restrict development on those properties within 500 feet. You can do whatever you were allowed to do before. It's just you do it with a little bit more knowledge. And it doesn't designate resource lands. The resource lands are designated by Whatcom County through their comprehensive planning process, and this does not have really anything to do with that except that we would react to those based upon our rule. And again, it's a notice to property owners when they choose to develop. So if you can consider this little segment of the city, this is Far Eastern Plain. So the city limits there, the vertical north-south line on the city limits, the yellow line, is just a little bit east of Valley View Road. So we're quite a ways out on H Street. And the red line is the buffer around the designated mineral resource lands in that area. It basically affects three properties in the city at this time. Now, the county could conceivably designate more mineral resource lands around the city. But if they were to do that, it would only happen in that general vicinity because there really aren't mineral resources anywhere else around the city unless the mineral is clay, which there's not a huge market for. So we're basically looking at a very small area, and that's just so you know, that's what we're talking about. This has been through a determination of non-significant, through the CEPA process, I mean, we issued a determination of non-significance. A public hearing was held at the Planning Commission on December 13th. There is an interlocal agreement with Whatcom County that directs us to take this action so that we're kind of all on the same page. And as I mentioned, the RCW's mandate that we do this, but it's really easy to miss things in the RCW when you're reviewing a single-family home. That's not where you usually look for your guidance. You usually look to your own zoning code and the building code. So to make it simple, the Planning Commission recommends approval, and that's in your packet. Staff recommends council accept the Planning Commission's recommendation and approve Zoning Text Amendment 3-12, Mineral Resource Lands.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
A question.
We have a motion to have Charlie.
Ken.
Okay, questions?
Michael, is oil considered a mineral under these?
Actually, I suspect it is, but I don't honestly know for sure. I believe it's probably all potential mineral resources in Washington, but I honestly don't know for sure. Typically, they're talking about gravel for concrete.
The gravel pit that used to be in Blaine is not considered in that anymore?
It is not a designated mineral resource land, so the Saponi pit up on the hill there by E Street, that is a quarry, and it has it's actually not an active quarry right now, but there's a whole bunch of pit run and gravel and things that could be excavated there, but it's not designated mineral resource lands, which are designated like agricultural lands and forestry lands.
But would the city designate a mineral resource?
No, sir, I don't believe so. I think it's against GMA for us to designate resource lands because we are supposed to be accommodating houses, not extraction of resources. I've never looked into it because it's not.
But the county couldn't come in and say that particular site.
No, they don't have jurisdiction over the city's land uses.
Okay.
Okay. Other questions? Any comments?
I do have a question about that pit up there. Is that? Are we using that? Are we extracting that? Are we?
It's not ours. We don't own it. So no, we're not extracting.
Oh, that's a privately owned.
It's privately owned. And it's currently under a land disturbance permit to allow disposal of unwanted fill material. So when they were excavating for the Peace Arch facility, they put a whole bunch of clay in that pit. And so they are eligible for that, and they have a sort of like a reclamation plan when they kind of fill it to a certain level.
So they're using it to fill more than taking out?
Yeah, they don't have a permit to take. They have a
take
permit
out.
To put.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there no other questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item on the action is the authorization for Department of Commerce grant for energy saving project. Raven, is that you?
That would be me again. You know, we've spent a nice hour this evening talking with Johnson Controls and kind of showing where we got to from that point to here. There are a couple of very minor differences between the agenda packet and what we showed tonight. I think we mentioned one of them, and that's the capital contribution went from 15 to 19 because we catered back the Bonneville Power rebate amount to be more conservative. The total energy reduction actually increased from the grant application in front of you to what we hope to submit tomorrow, from 27% to 31%. And that was just because initially we were thinking of just doing the streetlights that the Transportation Improvement Board pilot would fund. And then after talking to our staff and deciding we could put them in ourselves and so on, we said, let's do it. Let's just get her done. And so that actually created quite the bump. And one other, the total project cost on the scenarios that were provided includes the monitoring and verification, and that's actually separated out on the grant application. So again, we request your authorization to submit the grant application to the Department of Commerce as per the staff recommendation, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that we are successful with that.
And we would still, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, we would still, assuming we got this, then have to come back and approve acceptance of it to move forward with the contract.
I would think that probably the loan package would be what we'd bring to council at that point, right? I'm looking over at Jeff. But
yeah, you'd probably bring back the whole financing plan.
Yeah.
Just get it all done.
Yep. Clark has a question.
Does this still cost $19,000?
No. No, if we don't do the project at all, you mean?
Yeah.
The $19,000 a year is strictly for the elevator. So if we don't do the project at all, we're going to need to come up with the $150,000 plus at some point soon to deal with the elevator. Now, the only reason we included it in this project was because we already were moving forward and we knew we were going to get a loan, and they wrapped it in for us, but it was the fact that it doesn't have the energy savings, it didn't pay for itself. Now, that being said, again, if we are able to get more BPA rebates and qualify for them, for the elements of the project, which I think we should be able to do, hopefully my financing package, when I bring it back to you, will have a smaller number there, because that would all be Banner Bank building eligible.
Move to authorize the city manager to submit the Department of Commerce grant application.
Second it.
Are there any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. The next item on the agenda is the contract for executive search. Mr. Tomczyk, is that you, or?
You asked me to look into getting proposals from executive search firms. I contacted three firms that that I was familiar with that had some experience in Washington, requested proposals from them, only received one. That was from Prothman. And they submitted a written proposal, which I provided
the council, and this is on the agenda. If you want to retain Crossman to direct the search for a new city manager, then you could authorize me to enter into a contract with them. There has been some discussion about trying to find additional firms to look at. If you want to direct me to do that, so that this is on here just in case you want to move forward and get this process going. Otherwise, you know, you can kind of do what you think is best.
Mr. Mayor, I would suggest that we defer the decision on this particular contract.
Charlie has a Charlie, Clark is having a little trouble hearing you.
Why do we not want to do it?
He's asking you why you're suggesting this. I'll just translate for you.
Why?
He's asked why.
That, to me, doesn't seem like a legitimate reason to do it. So, and that's my point of view.
Any other comments? Anybody want to make a comment? Or
my comment would be that I'd feel more comfortable if we would have two at least. I we may not be able to find a second one, but I think maybe we should try to scurry around and see if we can find somebody else that might be a candidate for an executive search.
We've had a couple of searches done here in the county with other organizations recently. I know, for instance, the port went through this process. They've gone through a couple of times using a firm that they actually have used for things in the past. They didn't go up and get multiples. I've looked through this, so it looks in order to me, and this is certainly a firm that has a significant amount of experience. If the majority of the council decided that we wanted to go back out and see if we could get a second, I'm certainly not going to oppose that, but I am comfortable with this proposal and wouldn't have any problem going forward this evening.
Since Gary made his announcement tonight, and that's a public statement, correct, that if there is interest in the job, could it be that somebody in the area says, hey, you know, I'm interested in this, and is there a way for the council to talk to those people prior to ever going out on a search?
Sure. I'm sure there's a way to do that. I suppose one thing that could be done is to conduct a more limited geographic search and kind of, you know, limit it to Whatcom County, Skagit County, that kind of thing, and see, you know, what you get in terms of candidates. If you're satisfied with the candidate pool, you can go through a process of interviewing. If you don't find someone you like, then you could go with a broader search and use a firm like Crossman. I can't tell you that I've ever been through that kind of experience myself. You know, if someone locally wants to apply for the job, they can apply like everybody else.
Right.
And will be considered along with other candidates, which I think is, from my standpoint, is that's typically how it's done. If there's a local candidate, then they go in with
the pool.
With the pool, and
it's just a thought. Since this has become
that's a good question. it's not unusual to find your candidate locally, even though you have a search that's regional. We have two examples sitting here tonight.
We'd like to talk to you about that.
One is Jeff, and the other one is Raven. We ended up hiring people who were local. After looking at what else was out there, what other applicants were out there. So,
Clark, is that make sense to you?
Yeah.
In determining how we want to proceed, can that be done in an executive session, or do we have to have this open?
I think that we have determined that a discussion about which search firm you hire is not an executive session item. You would have to do that. You would have to have that discussion
in a public meeting.
I think that there may be a way that if the council wants to discuss this matter, that it could be an executive session. I think Sherry and I need to work on that a little bit. This is not an area where you want to screw up.
No, exactly. No, and I think that's when we have to be very careful how we approach this.
If you choose to put this off for a week or two, in the interim, we can explore ways that you can legally discuss various issues and advise you on that. I understand what Clark wants to do. I just can't advise you that you can go into executive session tonight. I need some time.
Okay. Well, we want to discuss the process, how we intend to do this.
Say that again.
What we want to do is discuss how the process we're going to use to selecting the new city manager.
Yeah, and that's not an executive session discussion.
I do have a question.
Discussing the process is not. If you're going, you can discuss personnel.
Yeah. But you can't discuss the
process. But that's different than process.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Why do we want to discuss the process in secret?
I'm not suggesting we do. I'm just saying if that's what's...
I have a question for you, Gary.
We could do it.
Is it your experience that the vetting process through a professional search firm who's been through this, has it been your experience that vetting process versus a direct hiring process and vetting is more successful and well worth the money to
direct hiring process, you mean if we did it?
If we did it directly, because you're talking about checking references, you have a professional firm doing that third party. Is it your experience that usually works out more successful in hiring, selecting and hiring and having someone stay on and be successful than if a council would hire directly?
That's my experience, especially in a small community,
mm-hmm.
Where you do not have the internal resources to manage a search,
mm-hmm.
To do the things that you talked about and to do it in a timely way.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big mistakes that when smaller communities take this kind of issue on is
they don't know how long it takes. It's going to take, with a, if you hire an experienced search firm, it's going to take 4 months, maybe more, to hire somebody. By the time you go through everything that needs to be done in terms of advertising and narrowing down applications and doing background checks and all of that, it'll take quite a while. And if we were to try to do that internally, it would take even longer to do it well.
But not even time-wise. I'm talking about selecting the best candidate. Do you find that sometimes there is better success in the vetting process going through a professional firm rather than internally?
You get a broader sense as to who's out there, who's interested, and I think that from that process you get a better look at what the field looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that it does is that you not only get to sort of have someone go through and look at who's interested out there, but you also have an entity whose job it is to go out and find folks who might be ready to move up to the next level. I mean, a firm like this, and there are several firms that do this, but a firm like this is not just going to put this out and say, okay, who wants it, and screen this. They're going to go to people they know who might be ready to make the next step up that you wouldn't get if you were advertising here because they may be in Idaho or Louisiana or wherever.
Yeah.
I think there's three issues we have to deal with this evening. One is deciding whether we want to just go with Prothom this evening and authorize Gary to use them or select them. The second issue would be whether we should explore further to find if we can find a second or third company or individual that we could use on an executive search. Ken suggested the people that work with the port. We know of the gal that worked with the Council of Governments. And the third issue would be, I think if Clark wants to discuss a specific individual, then we could go into an executive session and discuss that individual. So that seems to be the three issues on the table, and I would think we would probably have to decide one of those three this evening as to how to, you know.
Could I make a recommendation?
Sure.
We put the approval of a selection firm on the agenda for the next council. In the interim, Gary will go out to a couple of these other ideas, the search firm that didn't talk to the board, see if there is any other interest out there that we might be able to get this next 2 weeks so we have more than one look at that. That we have a closed session at that meeting where we can discuss the personnel matter that Clark has come up with, and then coming out of that, make a public decision as to what step we're going to take.
Dennis?
In this process, is the council will make the final decision, correct?
The process?
When the process is completed, the council will have made the final decision.
To hire a city manager?
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely. Okay, my question is there a way to have, or is it recommended that the council get input from the public?
Typically, yes, the short answer is yes. And this kind of gets at, you know, what Clark was talking about in terms of the cost involved. The process of hiring a city manager or school superintendent or director of the board or those kinds of things is a lot different than just hiring somebody. You know, on the searches that I've been involved in, it's not uncommon that once you go to the community for an interview, you have three or four interviews. You interview with the community, you interview with the staff, you interview with the council, and depending on the position, if you're Jeff or Raven, they interview with me. So it's not uncommon that you have that type of a setting. So I've been in some, it's not uncommon to have a community reception.
For all?
People show up, they're invited to come. Typically in this kind of a situation, all of the candidates are there at the same time. They're not, they don't come in one at a time. They're all there together so that the council and the public and everyone gets to see them kind of interacting. And so that's the process that Proffman, someone like Proffman would do. They would, that would be the extent of the process.
I know the process when Raven was hired was, it was interesting, and I thought it was really a good system.
Yeah, it would be very similar to that. It'll be at least that and maybe more.
Could we get back to the topic at hand? Ken's made some recommendations. I'd like to hear if anybody would like to comment on those recommendations.
I agree with Ken's
suggestion. Hold off for a week or
two
weeks. Okay. Yeah.
And schedule an executive session to discuss some of
to discuss personnel matters.
Personnel matters. That's right. And
is everybody comfortable with that?
And then Carly? In the meantime, yeah, Gary will.
When you get down to specifics, but just the idea of just doing it just for no reason, how we have reason.
Okay. Is that enough direction, Mr. City Manager,
so you want me to go out and see if I can find another firm?
Yeah, and put it back on the agenda for the next meeting. And then Clark wants us to deal with some personnel matters.
So as long as they meet the requirements for executive session.
Okay. Well, you can clarify that with Clark.
I guess a caution.
Yes, sir. We need the city attorney here.
Yeah. I don't need to be an attorney to tell you this. The caution is that you not discuss this between you,
yes,
emailing each other, or
no,
if
no,
it becomes a council deliberation,
no,
then we have a problem.
Yes, absolutely. This is something that's going to be on the agenda next meeting and not to be discussed in between, correct?
That would be my advice.
Does everybody agree to that?
Yes. I would say that the executive session would take no more than 15 minutes. And we do it early on in the meeting, maybe first thing, and then come back and have a meeting.
We don't have any clue about what it is until we show up.
Okay. Is there any other business that we have to discuss this evening? Okay. Everybody comfortable with that? Okay, we'll bring the meeting to a close.
Thank you.